Blog Talk Radio. Reggie Johnson. Hey, Dr. Reggie.
Hey, Cynthia, how are you?
I'm wonderful this morning. We're your hosts this morning on Circles of Prosperity. We also have Gloria Wells in our chat room. I know she's been out for a couple of days. I hope she's in there this morning. But she moderates our chat room. If not, I'll touch bases with you guys in the chat room and say good morning to you and try to keep the ball rolling in her absence. Wow. Did you guys miss us? I hope not, because we put up some recorded shows for Monday and Tuesday. Oh, my God. I have to make this announcement. I'm kind of torn about it, but I need to share this with you guys. It took me 2 days to... Dr. Reggie and I just moved, and so I had to change my driver's license, change my registration for my tag because I moved from one county to another. And then, of course, the election is coming up, and we wanted to get our new polling place and change our stuff for our voting. And I'm going to tell you guys right now, please, please get all of your papers in order. I don't know what's happening in our country. I had encouraged Dr. Reggie several years ago to get his passport because they have no record of his birth. Then he didn't have a birth certificate, and we had to really jump through hoops in order to get his passport. And it was very, 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 very frustrating and a lot of work. We had to find his oldest relative. She had to write a declaration, and it had to be notarized. And she was 90-something at the time all of that was happening and living in Maryland, and we were in California. But bless her heart, she got it all done. And so what we went through were all the documentation that they are requiring you now. I thought I could just go and they give them a proof of my new address, and they would just change my driver's license. I had to have my passport or a birth certificate, plus the documentation of the new place where, you know, of our new address.
And your Social Security card.
And my Social Security card. And, you know, so I'm telling you, and it didn't dawn on me when we were going through this what was really happening. I just knew that I had to get it done, and so that was all I was focused on. But late last night, in the middle of the night, it dawned on me how things are changing and how frustrating this can be. And I kind of played the tape over in my head with people around me and how frustrated they were. So there is this huge movement now for us to document who we are, that we actually belong in this country. I don't know the source of why this is happening. Maybe it's because of immigration or whatever. But my point is, I experienced it. Dr. Reggie experienced it. If you have not gotten all your ducks in a row to vote this year, you need to do it now, today. Don't wait. There's no time to wait, especially if you got to scramble and get all this documentation. And Lastly, I encourage you to get your passport. That is going to be your best identification, your passport and your Social Security card. But that passport is number one. Do whatever you have to do to get your passport. So because I anticipate that this will get worse before it gets better, they're fighting it in the courts and everything else, but guess what? You are on Circles of Prosperity, and you know that we are evolving, and you know that there is a lot of resistance to the evolution. People are afraid. This is happening only because people are afraid. So love them through this process, but get your passport. Get your identification. That needs to be a number one priority. We never had to think about it before, did we? You know, just your driver's license and a credit card usually got you through. Not anymore. So take it seriously, guys. Take it seriously. I didn't, but I had all this stuff. But it just amazed me what they put you through now. And I don't want you guys to experience that. Okay, so Dr. Reggie,
mm-hmm.
you want to take us into our morning prayer?
Yes. Heavenly Father, I say for all of us, good morning. And I summon the energy and will in my body, for great is the power within me. My life force flows strong, and every cell in my body is working in a powerful order. As above, so below, and as within, so without. And I am energized and refreshed this brand new day, brand new morning, thanks to you who gave us creation and gave us life and gave us an all-powerful will, and our body, mind, and spirit work as one together to help us accomplish that which we will. We believe it is so, and so it is.
And so it is, and so it is. Wow. So, you know, how many of you listen to the show on Friday with Adele Wang? Do you guys know we have had over 16,000 downloads of that show? And it's still counting, so people must be sharing it. 16,500 plus. Every day there's at least another 100 downloads of that show. And that show was focused on money. Money, money, money. Wow. So if you didn't listen to Oracle Friday last week and you are in need of money, or you want more money, you want to know how to get money, I encourage you to download that show and share it with your friends, because Adele gave us some tips, and I mean, she was just amazing, absolutely amazing. And so it kind of inspired me to look for other things about money. You know, we did a whole series on creating money. Dr. Reggie, I'm going to turn your mic off for a moment, okay? We did a whole series on creating money. The name of the book was called Creating Money. And one of the things that, of course, when we got the book, me and my girlfriends, we were like, "Ooh, let's find out how to get some money." So we're flipping through the book trying to find a quick answer to how to get some money. And then finally we settled down and said, let's just go through the book. And that book teaches you, first of all, how they really emphasize moving into your joy. You hear me say that quite a bit. You got to move into your joy. I got that phrase from that book, move into your joy. Do what brings you joy. You know, my new affirmation for this year is, I will do what brings me joy no matter what. And I encourage you to write that down. I will do what brings me joy no matter what. And that needs to be from moment to moment. You need to be in your joy from moment to moment. It's something about the emotion of joy that attracts good stuff to you. And it almost makes sense, doesn't it? Who would want to be around somebody that's miserable? I mean, So the joy brings all, you make, when your joy is everybody around you, you infect them with joy. And they want to do things for you, give you things, compliment you. The compliments escalate your joy. You're just radiating joy. And in the meantime, you're attracting good stuff to you. Imagine going into a bank and asking for a loan and you're filled with fear and what the response will be. And then imagine going into a bank asking for a loan and you are just filled with joy. You've got the greatest idea. It's the perfect thing for you. And you're sharing it with this person. They're going to get infected with the joy and say, okay, here's the money. Let's do this thing. It's not impossible. Because if you're in your joy, you're not thinking about, oh, they're not going to say yes to me. Oh, they're going to say, you're not filling yourself up with all the doubt. All you know is that I'm happy. This is what makes me happy. I believe in this, and so will you. That's the only way you can think when you're in a state of joy. So anyway, that book first taught us about moving in our joy. The second thing it taught us was how to magnetize. I love that word. Magnetize things to you. Rather than you going out and struggling for it, it really taught us how to bring those things to us. And you know what? It's not limited. You can bring money to you. You can bring the people that you need in order to do the things that you need to you. But it all has to start from joy. See, where most of us will say, okay, let me figure out how I can make some money. That's what we'll say. We don't stop and say, I want to know I want to get up in the morning and really love what I do. What will that be? It's a big shift in consciousness, how you approach it. So this morning, I ran across, because I have tons of books here on prosperity. That's just my whole thing. And Edwin Gaines, I actually saw her speak at a Unity Church. She's one of the contemporary prosperity teachers within the Unity movement, Edwin Gaines. She has a cute little southern accent. She's funny. Anyway, and very funny. So she has a book entitled The Four Spiritual Laws of Prosperity, A Simple Guide to Unlimited Abundance. And guess what chapter one is about? Mastering money. Chapter one. She just puts it right out there. Listen, we're going to learn how to master money. And here's what she says. We as a human race have managed to build the internal combustion engine to eradicate polio and make TV dinners you can heat in just minutes in the microwave. But we have not yet learned one of the most important things of all. And that's how to form a healthy attitude toward money. We have to learn to be masters of our money and not let it be the master of us. And we must realize that the power to bring about real and positive change in this world is not in gold bullion or stocks or bonds, but instead the power is within us as children of God at the level of our spirituality. So creating money says find your joy, that joy is the power source. That's inside job. I've been telling you guys that everything is an inside job, right? Inside job. She's telling us the power is within you, inside job. The book that we just finished says spiritual partnership. In order to get to your authentic power, you got to get rid of all of your fears. Inside job. Book to book to book, they're telling you, because there's only one truth, inside job. Money is just a means to an end. It's not the end itself. You cannot eat money, and it cannot keep you warm or even cuddle you at night. Simply having money is not the goal. The goal is to use it to do whatever your heart leads you to do and to do that which fulfills your divine purpose. I think in one of the lessons that I uploaded, either on Monday or Tuesday, I told you that we should only have enough money to do what brings us joy. Because that's the work that God has planned for us. We need enough money to accomplish the goals that God has laid out for us to do, which comes from our ideas. And that brings me to another book. I talked to Oscar Poole this morning. I was trying to get him to join us this morning, but it was a little short notice. But he has this short little book called How to Make Things Happen. And he has a little statement in here that I absolutely love, because he says, first of all, in order to make things happen, you have to know who you really are. And he goes on to define something that I've said to you all the time, that you really are God expressed. You are an expression of God. Okay. So that knowing that you are made in the image of God, which is a deity, you are truly a spiritual being capable of performing exploits and doing great things. And then he goes on to say that everything that God does is good, and therefore everything that we can do is good, and that we are co-creators. But he comes to this point where he talks about the word idea. And he says, he talks about the first letter in idea is I. I, the letter I, it means it's of you, and you are part of God, which means it is of God. And I love that. I love how he brought that little thing out, that idea, that idea. So let's go back to Edwin. It was a beautiful thing. I just wanted to share that with you. If you desire something, and then you deny that you desire it, that's cowardice and spiritual laziness. And what's more, it's a lie. Now, I am very guilty of this. I'm always open and honest about where I am. I never want to say that you guys are experiencing this, but I do. I will sit here and I'll say, oh, I have this great idea, and then let's say I want to buy a new car, and Lord knows I need a new car, but I want to buy a new car, and then I start thinking of all the reasons why I should not buy that new car, and I think about all of it is limiting thought. I don't allow myself to just freely imagine having enough prosperity to purchase the car that I really desire. Edwin is saying that is spiritual laziness. Because you know what we'll do? Okay, let's say we're out shopping for a car and we look at the sticker tag and we really know that this is what we want. But what we will do is say, oh, I cannot afford that. We immediately go into a limiting thought consciousness. Why is it that we don't have the courage to think bigger? Edwin says, God wants us to do more. He wants us to have more, and he wants us to play big. God doesn't want us to deny our desires. After all, God put these desires in us, and we must celebrate them. Life is not about struggling or being unhappy and then dying. It is about enjoying and appreciating everything that life has to offer. Through joy, we glorify God. There's that word again, joy. So these ideas may be new to you. They often are. To many people that I teach, and those people often have a lot of questions. So let's pose some of the most common questions, and then we're going to share her ideas about them. First of all, she says, what is money? And there's a lot written about what is money. Some scholars say it is deferred service. Some say it is energy. Some believe that money is a spiritual symbol of invisible spiritual substance. Spiritual substance is what the mystics call the invisible body of God out of which all things are created. Yesterday's lesson was on substance. That's the very beginning of understanding creation, is understanding substance. If you didn't listen to it, go to our archives and download it. She's touching on substance today. She says it's the invisible body of God out of which all things are created, meaning your clothes, your jewelry, your shoes, and the chair you're sitting in is all created out of one invisible substance called the body of God. Money is an energy system that we are using right now, which I believe will one day disappear. If you listen to our archive from Friday, Adele says, Adele defines money as energy. But really and truthfully, money is a representation of energy. I think that's a better way. She says that it's how we pay, exchange energy. If I'm a teacher and then you're paying to take my class, I'm expending energy to teach you. You are expending energy to sit there and listen and to learn. And the way we exchange that energy, the symbol of exchanging that energy is through money. It's through money. So money, Edwin believes that money is an energy system and that money will no longer be necessary because, as Charles Fillmore, the co-founder of Unity, says, we shall serve for the joy of serving. Now, I get up every morning and I do this work that I do every morning gives me my greatest joy. It gives me my greatest joy. I have not received any money from it, but it does not prevent me from getting up every morning to be here with you because I love it so much. So I can personally imagine a time when everybody is moving in their joy and there's no need for money. And guess what? I get up every morning and I do this and somehow we are still able to eat and keep a roof over our head. Things happen for us. It's a different way for the money to flow into our lives, and that's what I'm having to realize, that it flows in a different way. So I'm not out running and chasing after money. I'm up in the morning doing the things that thing which gives me my greatest joy, and everything else kind of flows from that. But I had to be open to move into that reality and into that experience, and that part has not been easy for me because I worked. I made six figures a year. So me being at this level and not having a regular paycheck and everything, that's a big, huge adjustment. But it's been over 3 years, and I know that I will be taken care of. I trust it. I have faith, and I trust. So she says, we shall serve for the joy of serving. And when we do, everything that we need and want will flow to us. So we don't need money. I had a beautiful, beautiful vacation this year. It was a gift. All the time that I worked, I rarely had time to go on vacation. And here it is. I had me and Dr. Reggie had the most awesome vacation that was a gift. It was a gift. You never know how things are going to come to you. Move into your joy. Move into your joy. It is not easy to break the bonds of, how we have been programmed. And it can be uncomfortable, and it can be scary. So only do it you really have to love what it is that you do. And, I never understood. Many of you may not know this, but I pursued an acting career. And you hear these stories of people actors and musicians that they're starving musicians, starving artists. They live for their art. That's all they want to do. That's what they're passionate about. And they go without. A lot of times they cross over and never make it, but they live in their art. And I never could understand how to do that. I was not passionate enough about my art as an actress to starve. But in order to make it, sometimes you have to say, you know what, I'm going to do this no matter what. That's why my mantra now is, I will do what brings me joy no matter what. No matter what. I moved into another level of commitment because I don't want to live the rest of my life being miserable. If you don't want to be miserable, it's up to you to change it. And you have to have the courage and the conviction and the commitment to make the change. Okay. Money is not going to disappear until we have mastered it, until we know that there is really no power in it, that it's here as an item to serve us, and that we don't have to earn it or struggle for it or do anything we don't want to do to get money. We certainly don't have to work a job we hate for money. I believe that God is not way up high, way far away. I believe God is within us. I believe God is a part of everything that we see and do, no matter how mundane. And what is more mundane than money? We touch it and handle it every day in so many big and small different ways. You carry it with you. Every single piece of our money, down to the lowly penny, has a prayer on it that says what? In God we trust. So we put the, think about that. We print this stuff out and we hand it off and we change it and people run their whole lives after it. But on the money itself, it says, in God we trust. I think that says it all, doesn't it? God is the source. I trust that God is the source, not this piece of paper. God is the source. God is my source. And I'm asking you this morning to just breathe on that and contemplate on that. Not your job. Your job is not the source. It's just a channel. It's just a riverbed for money to flow. God is your source. Even on our money, it tells us God. In God, we trust. That is the source. She goes on to say that we need to learn how to accept our desires. Many people want something, a house, a car, a new pair of shoes, but they feel they can't afford it. So they feel virtuous when they let themselves off the hook by saying, oh, I don't really want that thing. And anyway, I shouldn't be so materialistic. But contrary to popular belief, God doesn't love a martyr. I should know because I played one for many years. Denying our material desires is not what God wants us to do. What we could choose to do instead is to grow and to develop our courage and faith and stand up and say without guilt or hesitation, yes, this is what I want. Because if you desire something and then you deny that you desire it, that is cowardice and spiritual laziness. That's it. That's what we just covered, is it not? That is just what we just covered. So, I believe that sometimes you have to be willing to give up the good to receive the greater good. At some point, as we gain more and more, we realize our material possessions are not that which is truly making us happy. And we can move beyond them to another spiritual level. And at that point, we unload our camels and proceed without the cargo. And when we do, the master of the material goods, when we are the master of the material goods and not the other way around, we do not need our material things, and we reach a place of happily letting go. Because you have made spiritual progress when you can have your things or not and be happy regardless. Wow. So, okay, here's a story for you. Dr. Reggie and I were in we were in a townhome, 2,500 square feet. And now we've downsized to an apartment, two-bedroom apartment. And I have clothes everywhere. We have two closets, but we have to use one closet for all of his supplies for his dialysis. So the other closet is filled. And I'm sitting here going, what am I going to do with all these clothes? So now I really have to get rid of stuff. And I'm going, why? Oh, my God, I got to get rid of this. And I'm trying to decide what to keep, what not to keep. And then I just kind of put it off to the side, and I'm procrastinating about doing it because I don't want to release these material things. Because what comes up in my mind is I can remember when I purchased everything, how it felt. Every little piece of clothing I pick up, I remember when I bought this, and I remembered how I felt, and I remembered how I felt the first time I wore it. And no, I can't let it go. But I'm at a point where I know that I have to release. I'm trying to face it now. Will you guys pray for me on that one? Dishes. Reggie and I had a five-bedroom home. We entertained all the time. It wasn't nothing for us to have 70 or 80 people in our house. So I've got all these dishes. No place to put them. Ooh. Got to get rid of it. I don't need it anymore. I'm at the place where I know I don't need it anymore, but I'm not at the place where I can let it go. Hey, Susie, so then you understand my heart, right? Susie's in the chat room. She goes, oh, since I have the same issue. I just can't let it go. It has memories and stuff, so, but I got to let it go. It's no place to keep it, and it's not necessary. You know, it just isn't necessary. We're not doing that anymore. I don't know when we'll do that again. I don't think I will. It's a lot of work serving 80 people in your home. So, but what Edwin is telling us is that when we get to that point where we can unload our camel, that we have mastered really money. When we don't need the material things and it doesn't to define who we are, then we have actually mastered money. So she says, you have made spiritual progress when you can have your things or not and still be happy. Because I'm totally happy. It's not having my dishes, having those extra clothes that I don't even wear. I don't even have any place to wear them now. It does, because I'm not going to a regular job anymore. I work from home most of the time in my pajamas like I am right now. And what do I need a suit for? I don't. So I need to release some of this stuff. So I think it's interesting that there are so very many scriptural references to prosperity, and yet people tend to latch onto the ones that seem to suggest the nobility of poverty. But the Bible is full of promises of prosperity and abundance, far more than admonitions that suggest the virtue of doing without. So the danger of money comes when we forget what it's there for. When it begins to cloud the parts of our lives that are much more important, such as personal relationships that we have with people that we love or our personal relationship with God. That's what happened to me when at one point in my life I married a very wealthy man. I forgot some basic truths. And now that's not, this is Edwin talking, not me. Okay? So she says, I forgot that money is valuable in what it can allow us to do, to be, and enjoy, and instead mistook money as being valuable in and of itself. I had come into great prosperity, but I forgot why I was on the planet. She forgot her purpose. And I got so wrapped up in the money and the beautiful material things that I own that I let go of the spiritual world and kind of drowned in all the luxury, and my life became stale and stagnant. Over time, the riches caused me to depart from my spiritual pathway. I lost my appreciation for the small things. And at some point, this lavish house in the posh district of town came to feel like a prison. And the wealth became a burden. So there's a story in the Bible of a rich young ruler who went to Jesus and asked, "What must I do to have eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Sell everything you own. Give the money to the poor. And come and follow me." And I finally had to admit to myself that perhaps I had entered the marriage for the wrong reasons. You think? And the relationship ended. So I left that expensive house full of beautiful furniture, leaving everything behind except the clothes on my back and some things I could put in my car. And as I drove away, I felt like the rich young ruler in that I had to leave behind all my worldly goods. That was what I needed in that moment because it forced me to get back into my true nature and calling. And the mistake that I think people make is that they think they should always be forfeiting their material goods. But I don't believe that I or you or anyone need to live a lifetime of desperation or poverty. Because in that moment, however, it was what I needed as a wake-up call and to keep my life from going any farther down the wrong track, away from my sense of spirituality and what I knew to be true and important. But once again, the issue is whether you are the master of your money or if your money and worldly possessions are the master of you. Because there are times in your life when you are using money as a tool to do the work you need to do on this earth. But at other times in your life, you might start getting mesmerized by all the glitter of the gold and momentarily forget what's really important to you. At those times, your money is mastering you. Wow, I just think that's such an awesome, awesome lesson. I'm going to talk about mastering money again tomorrow. And then on Friday, it's Oracle Friday. And guess what? Bill Bowers is coming back. I don't know. You guys, do you remember the last time Bill Bowers was on the call? Oh, my God. You know what happened? Before people could even ask Bill Bowers a question, he was reading them. They couldn't even open their mouth. They would say, "My name is..." And he said, "Oh, I got a message for you right now." And he started going to just telling people everything. They didn't, and it was just what they were asking for. He was on fire. You're going to love him. He is going to be doing the energy work. And, you know, we've been focusing a lot on bringing energy healers because, you know, healing is not just about your physical body. When we're talking about energy healing, we're talking about the thoughts that you're creating that create an energetic vibration in you. Those fearful thoughts, we are addressing those fears, your fears, and shifting the energy around it. If you have business transactions that you are involved in or legal transactions and you want to shift that energy, you want to tune in with Bill Bowers. He has an he did some work on a young child that had been diagnosed as autistic, and the child had not spoken and wasn't talking, and I'll let him tell you the story. But anyway, they have moved. I have to give you the end of result of this. The child is talking and saying words now, so much so that they are now saying that he is not autistic. They have taken that label from him, away from him. Isn't that amazing? So, well, I wonder what frequency that child was on, and you know, to have that huge shift in energy. So you definitely want to tune in with him on Friday. He will be our guest, and I always love Bill. He's got a lot of life in him, and he's just a joy to work with. So I'm glad he's coming back. Okay, the next thing I want to tell you is that we are going to be, our next book study is going to be The Secret Power of Words. I'd like to start this book next week, but I also want you guys to order the book. It's, you know, I encourage you to order the book. And where you can order this book is from TGS Publishers. You can go to HiddenMysteries.com. That's HiddenMysteries, HiddenMysteries.com. The telephone number there, and Lila is waiting on your call, by the way, is 903-876-3256. And you know what? I love this book. You know why? Because my husband wrote it. I love this book. Dr. Reggie wrote this book. It's called The Secret Power of Words, Manifesting What You Say. Manifesting What You Say. Thank you, Susie, for adding that in there, the link in there for people in the chat room. Thank you so much. Yes, Dr. Reggie is going to be teaching from this book. Isn't that right, Dr. Reggie? Yep, as far as you know, he is going to be teaching from this book. Let me just kind of give you a little taste of what's in here. He talks about words, the broadcaster of the unformed universe, activating the broadcast channel, blessing and cursing. Say the magic word. He talks about Moses and his magic wand. You remember the staff of Moses? I'll never forget when Reggie was writing this book, he said, you know, Moses had a magic wand. And I fell out laughing. He was just such a little kid about it. And I said, what? He goes, yeah, Moses had a magic wand. You know that staff that he would hold out? That was his magic wand. Well, he's going to show you. He's going to share with you the secret of that magic wand, which was the magic word and how you say it. Oh, the power of the written word, the power of prayer, the impact of words on others. Do you guys remember the 2008 election? And near the end, they were jumping on all over Obama because, you know, all he does is these speeches. They said it has nothing. And Obama said, oh, no, words have power. Words define who we are. Whole rebuttal on the power of words. Well, we're going to understand this, learn the secret power of words and why it is so important that you pay attention to the stuff that you say. Okay? Oh, spell the word. Oh, Brenda, tell me what that means. Spell the word. I think she's having a play here on magic and spells. Is that right? No, someone in our chat room. Are you talking to me? Well, our show is getting in. Let me let Dr. Reggie take us into our closing prayer.
Okay. As we pray, Father, we invoke powerful forces of the universe. I call forth the power of wealth and channels of money come to all of us. Abundance is good for all of us, and we use money for the highest good. Let our words contain the mysteries that open the magic door with prayer and meaning, and we are motivated away from stress and away from the frightened parts of our personality, and use strength and valor and honor and everything to improve the quality of our lives. So let it be written, so let it be done. As we say it, we create it. I believe it is so, and so it is.
So it is. Thank you so much. You guys have a blessed day.